National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Marjorie Silverman and Bessie Hyman are interviewing Dr. Harvey Thorpe on December 20th, 1977, at his home at Aylesboro Avenue.
Dr. Thorpe, what is the date of your birth?
My birth date is February 23rd, 1895.
And will you tell me something about your father?
My father's name was Leon Trotsky. He was born in a small town near Vilna in the government of the state of Vilna in Russia, Russian Lithuania.
Again, to continue about your father.
My father came from a home where there were four children. His father came of a commercial, intellectual family, Russian intelligentsia. His mother came from a family of rabbis in the same region. The Vilna was a center of Lithuanian intellectuals and rabbinates. When my father was about 14 years old, he was apprenticed to a watchmaker because he had played hooky from school and went swimming. His brothers and sisters all went to college. He was the second oldest. His brother was older than he and was head of a Jewish boys' high school in Odessa. His one sister was Rosa, was head of a girls' high school, Jewish high school, in Libau, the province of Courland, later Latvia, in Russia. His younger sister was a graduate of the University of Königsberg in Germany, and she was a dentist. She practiced dentistry even after her marriage. His father moved to Libau in order to facilitate his business, which was the exporting of grain from Russia to other European centers.
Tell me something about your mother.
I'm going to finish about my dad. When my father moved to Libau, and where he was apprenticed, he realized that he had missed the gymnasium education, and he began to read a great deal in history and philosophy, and studied the Bible, and so that he was quite an educated person. He read a great deal of Russian, German, and literature, and some Yiddish literature, and also Hebrew literature. He spoke several languages. They were Russian, German, Yiddish, Latvian, and some Polish. My mother came from she was born on the farm in the state of Suwalki, or government of Suwalki, Russian, Polish, Lithuania. And her people ran the farm. Her father was mostly involved in the study of the Bible and Talmud. Her mother was the operator of the farm, and there were, I think, seven children, not counting one who died in infancy. My mother's name was Hinda Aronson. When she was very young, just an infant, her oldest brother left for America in order to escape the army service. His name was Samuel Aronson. He left at about the age of 18 and arrived in the United States in 1868. He was born in 1850 and somehow settled in Pittsburgh. I can't tell you why he settled in Pittsburgh. Subsequently, five of his brothers came to Pittsburgh, all before the year 1900.
Can you tell me something about your home when you were growing up?
Yes. My mother had an aunt in Pollangen, which was a city on the border of Germany, but right near Liebau in the province of Courland. And she used to visit her mother's sister, her aunt, who had a large farm in Pollangen. And that's how she met my father, who was at that time in the jewelry business in Liebau. They were married in 1894. She was a very vigorous and sociable person. She had a good many friends and had an education that was limited to what I might say about four grades, but the rest of her life she kept on going to school in order to make up for her lack of study in her young adult life. They were married in 1894, as I said, just about the time that the Tsar Nicholas II ascended the throne. And with the ascent of Tsar Nicholas, the pogroms in Russia ceased for a while. And I was then born about a year after their marriage. And some year and a half later, my sister was born. And she was, her name was Helena. A year or more later, or a year and a half later, that's about 2.5 years after my birth, my brother was born. His name was Benjamin.
Was your household a religious household?
My father was not very religious, although at high holidays he would go to shul. My mother kept a kosher house, and she came from a very strict Orthodox family. Russia and the Jewish people in Russia were undergoing a liberalization of thought. My dad joined the Lovers of Zion, which was an early Zionist group, and he also was in some way involved with the socialist group.
Would you say that your home was economically middle class or poor or wealthy?
My home was, I would say, lower middle class.
Were there a great many books that you're both readers?
We had a great many books on history, on poetry, on literature. My early education was with tutors. I had a Hebrew tutor with whom I pursued the Bible, and by the age of 10, I began to study the Gemara also. We also had a teacher come in to teach us Russian, and our home language in Liba was German, and very little Yiddish.
Were the teachers for the three children? Was the one teacher for the three children?
That's right. The teacher taught us arithmetic, reading and writing Russian, and and some German. German was a regular language of the streets.
Wasn't that unusual at that time for tutors to come in to a Jewish household?
It was the regular thing to do because we were being prepared to go to the gymnasium, for which there was very little hope because there was a numerous classes, and we were being prepared for cultural life or professional life.
Was your home life a permissive one, or were your parents strict?
My father left Russia because of the depression, which occurred about 1897 and 8, and went to South Africa. He went to the city of Cape Town. It was just prior to the onset of the Boer War. He remained in South Africa until about 1901, and returned home, stayed a year, and and decided that he better go back to South Africa. There were very few openings for him.
His wife and children were not with him in South Africa.
No. We stayed in Liba. We never left Liba until we decided to go to America.
Do you want to say anything more about your father being sort of a socialist?
When my dad was in South Africa, he joined the Zionist and socialist groups there. In 1904, there was a depression in South Africa, and it wasn't safe for him to come back to Russia because the Russo-Japanese War was on at that time. And so he decided to come to America. By that time, his father had died, and there wasn't the pressure for him to go to South Africa rather than America. And the reason for his original selection of South Africa was that his parents felt that if he went to South Africa, he would return home. But if he went to America, very few people returned from America.
Did he send money home? How did your mother and the children live while he was in South Africa?
Father sent money home, and we lived in Liba. We changed our residence to we lived on a business street not far from where my dad's store had originally been. We moved to a street called Sonnenstraße, Sun Street.
Can you spell that?
Sonnenstraße. It was a rather nice house, which we shared with the owner, of the house. And with us, Mother brought in a lady who acted sort of as a friend and governess. She was a widow, and her name was, she was a cultured person, and Mother thought that she would have a benign influence on the children. Her name was Frau Blumenau, B-L-U-M-E-N-A-U.
Did you have many friends while you were living there?
When we lived there, our chief friends were our relatives. And Jewish community was rather small in Libau. And second neighborhood that we lived in was chiefly Gentile. And we just had a casual relationship with them.
Were you bar mitzvah?
I wasn't bar mitzvah until I came to America. Okay. In the early spring of 1902, must have been 1902, my mother had to go to Carlsbad, which was place where she could drink certain kind of mineral water, because she had kidney stones. And so she parked us on the farm with her sister. This was in the state of Suwalki, the government of Suwalki, which was in Polish Lithuania. There were a number of cousins that we lived with and enjoyed playing with. I remember particularly an older cousin who was about 4 years older than I, and he asked me one day what I wanted to be when I grew up. And we had some experience with a physician in our city of Libau, and we admired this man, so I thought I wanted to be a doctor. This young man could ride a horse well, and whom I admired, my cousin, ridiculed my being a doctor. He said, "Why cut up frogs and animals before you learn to be a doctor? Why, what kind of things?" And I said, "Well, what do I do?" I was nonplussed. I didn't remember this until many years later. And he said to me, "Why don't you study to be an engineer?" His older brother was studying law, and most of the young people there who lived on the farm, if their parents were able to finance it, they went to college, either across the border in Germany, or if they could get into a Russian gymnasium, they'd get into a Russian gymnasium.
Was it difficult in those days to from Russia to go to Germany for university?
Very simple.
It was simple.
Yes. All you had to have is a foreign passport, that is a passport which permitted you to go abroad.
And could Jewish people get them?
Yes. So we went there for 2 summers while Mother went to Carlsbad. That was in then Austria. It was the section of Bohemia in Austria. When I was 10 years old, no, when I was about 8 years old, there was a big pogrom in southern Russia. We lived in northwestern Russia on the Baltic Sea.
What year was that?
That was 1903.
Yes.
The fall of 1903. The pogrom was in the city of Kishinev, K-I-S-H-I-N-E-V. And there were a number of pogroms in southern, southwestern Russia in a certain section of Russia, I can't think of the name at present, but it may come to me. And so Mother was kind of concerned.
May I ask, how did you hear about the pogroms that far away?
It was
by word of mouth, or?
By word of mouth and in the newspapers.
Oh.
Particularly in the newspapers which you would subscribe to, which came from Germany. And the interesting thing about the newspapers that came from Germany, there were often a whole paragraphs or columns that were censored and blacked out. Russia lost the Russo-Japanese War, and there were disturbances and beginning revolution and strikes, and people would march and sing the Marseillaise. You know how to spell Marseillaise? M-A-R-S-E-E-L-L-A-I-S-E. It's a French national anthem, but it's also the song of the French Revolution. The French Revolution was very much admired by the Russians, by the Russian socialists. My mother came into the kitchen, and we had a sort of a cupboard that was separated the kitchen from in two parts, and I was behind the cupboard, and there was a soldier who worked in the army bakery, which was a block away from our place. And Mother asked the soldier who was calling on our maid whether he would hide us in the yard of the bakery, where they had cores of wood piled up, which they used for baking the black bread. The soldier said, "Of course, I'll hide you if you want me to hide you and the children." And she said, "Yes, we'd like you to protect us from the hooligans." And
were there hooligans there at that time, or was it because she? Oh, I see.
The Black Hundred. They were called the Black Hundred or the hooligans. And Mother then stepped out into the other part of the house from the kitchen, and he said to the girl, "Are you really going to hide them?" And he said, "No, I only told her so." And I was very frightened.
Was there a disturbance in your town at that time? Or was it just because of the newspapers that you were frightened?
Because of what you knew happened
in other...
Correct.
I see.
But there was no assurance that we would be safe. They brought Cossacks into Libau, and the Cossacks put down the strikes and the marching and the singing of the Marseillaise on the street. Libau was a rather beautiful area where we lived. There was what they called the prospect, which was an allée with trees and grass, and that led up to the waterfront. And we would go to the waterfront, which was at a beach whiter than Atlantic City, with very white sand. And we would, as kids, play collecting shells, and also what is that brown? It's like a stone. It's a petrified sap. Remember the name. It's used in jewelry. So,
sand dollars?
What'd you say?
Sand dollars.
Not sand dollars. It's a brown, brownish and golden tint. It's petrified wood sap. And we would, that would be washed up by the sea. And we would gather that. We also went in bathing. Curious, we had didn't wear bathing suits, but we wore a nightshirt, a long nightshirt. Also, the in back of the beach, in one section of it, there was a there were naval guns to protect against invasion by Germany. Not very far was the harbor, and there were ships in that harbor always, because the summer and winter, because this was the only northern Russian port that didn't freeze in the wintertime, so they could import and export goods at all seasons.
During this time, was your father in America?
My father was in America. In late in 1905, about 2 years after the Kishinev pogrom. I might tell you that evening, I said to Mother, I want to tell you something. And I told her and that I had the secret. And she said, well, what is it? And the other children had been put to bed. I was the oldest, and I told Mother what I had overheard in the kitchen that day. I had interrupted that story. You'll have to edit it. She said, well, don't you worry. I'll take care of it. And this was about 1903 that I had told her, but it took her all that time to make the preparations. She acquired the passports for travel, and my father's brother-in-law's was in the steamship business. There were emigrants going by way of Libau to America and England. And so one day Mother came home, and late that night she told us we're going to America tomorrow. And that afternoon we got on the boat, right not very far from our home. It was a harbor, maybe a half a dozen blocks. And we got on this boat in late 1905 or very early in 1906. I was then pretty well along in my 11th year. I was not quite 11 yet. We got to, we went through the Kiel Canal in Germany, across the Baltic Sea first, and then across the North Sea, and then up the Thames River to London. We stayed in London a couple of weeks, and we did some sightseeing, and that was the first place that I saw a banana and learned to eat it. I had never seen a banana before or heard of one. These are my childish impressions. I remember seeing Big Ben and Westminster Abbey and other places in London. And we spoke no English, although my aunt, who headed up the girls' school, was able to speak English and French.
Was your aunt traveling with you to America? Was your aunt traveling with you to America?
No, she was not with us. No. She stayed behind. She never came to America. We then crossed England to Liverpool, and after 5 or 6 days on the boat, we arrived in New York Harbor. I remember the name of the boat was a Carmania. It was part of the Cunard Line.
Do you want to say something about life on the boat?
We had a fairly nice cabin, and I think we were in second class.